Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 26 through 29 or 30, I believe it is. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." I believe it may be in the book of Luke where it speaks of this very fact. It says, this body is given for you. So I want you to keep that in mind this morning as I preach this message. And before I go any further, I'd like to invite you to come back tonight. We have a guest speaker tonight. Gunner will be preaching. Feels the call of God on his life. So I'm going to give him an opportunity to stand up here and share with us. So come back and support him and bring your amen fan, all right? Amen him so that while he's preaching. So I want to encourage you to be back here this evening at 6 o'clock. This passage that we read this morning is on the day before Jesus gives his life. And we know that Jesus died on Friday, so we can assume that this day was Thursday, that he was celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. He just finished having a conversation with Judas and knowing very well that one of those that sat at the table with him would betray him. And he had that conversation, "Go and do what is in your heart, go do it." And so we know that conversation has taken place. And now he institutes what we call the Last Supper, or some would call the Lord's Supper. And he puts this into effect, that day. And this is one of those two ordinances which we keep as Assembly of God, as an Assembly of God church. We keep communion and we also water baptism. Those are the two ordinances that we keep. And both of those, by the way, Jesus instrumented or started in the church body. And the reason I'm preaching this passage or this message this morning, and even the one I preached last week, if you missed it, and the one that I'll be preaching next Sunday, is to get us in focus on Jesus as we move toward Easter Sunday. As we move toward Easter Sunday, just to get our mindset. I know that we live in a very busy world, and I know that we have many things occupying our thoughts. But I think it's good that we start to focus and start to think a little bit about Jesus. Amen? And so this is the whole ideal of this morning. And today, as you can see, we have the table set before us with communion for our Lord and King. And we'll be doing that after this message this morning. But before we take of the table, I want to spend some time talking about the meal that is before us. How many of you like to hear sometimes about what's for supper? My little brother, he's not here this morning, my younger brother, but he used to call my mother and says, "Hey, what you cooking tonight?" And she says, "Why do you want to know?" He says, "So I can start thinking about it right now." And he wanted to know all that she was going to do, the gravy and whatever it may be, and he wanted to get his mind focused on that. Well, this morning I want to focus a little bit on this meal that we've got before us on this table this morning, and may it stir up a spiritual appetite inside of us, and may we find that it will be nutrition to us spiritually this morning as we get ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper here in just a little while. The first thing I want you to notice, this ordinance was instituted by the CEO of the church himself. It was instituted by the CEO of the church, not by a man-made organization. There were no denominations at that particular time, and it amazes me how many different branches we have off of what started here. But the fact is, this was not instituted by the Assembly of God, even though we have this as an ordinance of our church. This was instituted by Jesus. It wasn't the Catholics that started this. It wasn't the Baptists or the Methodists. It was Jesus himself that put this into the church body. It's the Lord's ideal. It was instituted by the head of the church, and his name is Christ. Therefore, it should be respected by any group that names the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. It should be something that is among them. And it was to remain in effect until he comes back. Now hear that. It's supposed to happen in the church body until he comes back. The Acts church understood this. You read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship and in the breaking of the bread. That breaking of the bread is literally talking about the Lord's Supper there. And then in Acts 20, several years later, in verse 7, it says, now on the first day of the week, get that. How many know this is the first day of the week? This is not the weekend. Culture says this is the weekend. The church says this is the first day of the week. The weekend is Friday and Saturday. This is the first day of the week. And thank God you are in the house of God on the first day of the week. Amen? Y'all get gold stars. It says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Listen to that. On the first day of the week, they came together to break bread, to have communion with the Lord. That of having the Lord's table set just like we have. And they came together to do that on the first day of the week. This was not something that they did once with the Lord at the Lord's Supper, but they continued to do this throughout the week. And if you really look at it, someone will say that they've done it almost every day, but in this passage it's talking about that once a week. So they came together to break that bread. And by doing this, we know in 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink his cup, you proclaim the Lord's death and also till he comes. By doing that today, we're proclaiming his death until he comes. I was speaking with a pastor the other day, and he asked me if we had communion services, or a communion service, and I said, yes, we do. And then he asked me how often. I said, we try to have communion on the third Sunday of the month. And sometimes it doesn't work out. And then he told me this. He says, well, we might start having communion. And I kind of felt the same way that you just felt. I was kind of surprised that their church does not have communion. Friend, we can look at the early church and even in a study of the Old Testament priest and find that they went to the table at least once a week. If you study the Old Testament priest, they were required every once a week to come into the showbread table there and they would have communion with the Lord. Can I remind you this morning that we are called unto a holy priesthood? All of us are to be priests in God's presence. And so we find out that they did this more, and they would go. Some scholars, like I said earlier, would tell you they almost had communion every day. But sometimes we are hesitant to take communion too often in fear of it becoming meaningless as we partake too regularly. Can I tell you this morning, every day with Jesus isn't a bad thing. Every day with Jesus is not a bad thing. I pray almost every day and it's still meaningful to me. I read the Bible almost every day and it's still meaningful to me. I attend church on multiple occasions during the week and it is still meaningful to me. We do things over and over and over again, and they are still meaningful to us. I still kiss my wife after 36 years, and it is still meaningful to me. I'm not sure to her, but it is still meaningful to me. Could it be that, I don't get it, why not communion? Why cannot communion still be meaningful to us other than just a little grape juice and a piece of bread? Could it be that we need to connect with the meaning of the meal Christ put into effect that Thursday evening or reconnect with it? Could it be that we need to reconnect with what he was presenting that day on that table unto the disciples and said, do this until I come back? Could we need to reconnect with it once again so that it's still meaningful in our lives when we come to communion? If we want to connect, I think this morning is that we should lend the elements of communion an ear. To lend the elements of communion an ear. The first element of that communion is the body of Christ, which is the bread, and it conveys benefits to the believer. When we look at the elements of this communion that we'll have this morning, the first one that we look at is that bread. And what does that convey? It conveys benefits to the believer. This bread does not convey benefits to those that do not believe. Get that in your head this morning just for a moment. It does not convey benefits to those that do not believe, but it conveys benefits to those that do believe. John 6, chapter 32 and 33. And Jesus said to them, most surely I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the whole world. Throughout this chapter, Jesus actually discusses the elements in communion. Read John chapter 6 fully. I will not do it this morning because of time, but read John chapter 6 and you'll find the elements of communion threaded throughout that. And Jesus is having a conversation with all those that are following him. And he comes up and he tells, I'm the bread of life, and unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you shall not have no part of me. Spoke of in John chapter 6. Even in our passage this morning that we have read, Jesus declares his body as the bread. How many of you like bread? I think that's one of the hardest things to get out of your diet, isn't it? We should have the bread of life daily in our diet. Amen? You go to Texas Roadhouse, you've got to have the bread, right? The cinnamon butter. But if you don't like that, just get the regular butter. It doesn't matter as long as you get the bread. You go to Red Lobsters, you get the bread. Oh, give me the bread. More bread. Bring it on. Bread is good. But I'm going to tell you today, we need to get the same appetite, have the same understanding and desire for the bread that's been spoke of in this meal this morning. Talk about the bread of life. Talk about that bread. Jesus declared himself to be the bread. In the Old Testament, the bread was called the showbread that was on the table in the holy place. The showbread is called the bread of the presence. It's literally interpreted the bread of presence. Think about that this morning when we talk about the bread here this morning, the bread of presence, the bread of Christ. Now, you know, we use the word I am. The word I am is always here. The bread of presence is what we're talking about. The bread that is present in our life this morning is Jesus Christ, his body. That bread of presence is always there. Jesus was born in a place called Bethlehem. And the name of Bethlehem means this is called the house of bread. Come on, this stuff doesn't just happen by accident in the Bible. God knew how to pen what he was penning, what he was writing, and how he inspired holy men of God to write it down. And Jesus came through the Virgin of Mary, and she was in that, she was in that stable there, and through that came the bread that spoke of in Bethlehem. That bread named Jesus Christ. He defines his body as the bread. How's his body life to you and me? Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5, is one of my favorite passages. Scripture gives us an answer. For it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by," listen to this, "by his stripes we are healed." The stripes went on his body. The punishment went on his body. The beating that you and I should have had went on his body. That's where everything happened, was on Christ's body. And Jesus says he is the bread of life. All this infliction went upon him. His body took our punishment. Punishment is something that speaks of a decision after of guilt that has already been made. Come on, you get punishment when you are found guilty. Some parents have not figured that out, punishment and discipline. But punishment comes when you are found guilty. The Bible says we've all sinned and came short of the glory of God. I am guilty of sin, and punishment had to come my way. But Jesus took my punishment upon his back. Hallelujah. That back which is called bread. That back which gives life. Hallelujah. He says, "I have given my body for you." Hallelujah. That bread, he has placed that upon his back. It was already lined up for the future, for him to come and do such thing. So not only his punishment, punishment upon his back, but his body through that process provided peace for you and me. Provided peace. There was no other way to have peace with God other than through Jesus receiving stripes upon his back and taking our punishment. It was required. When we take this bread, we should remember that our punishment was taken by his body. And also, may I remind you something, when the devil's speaking to you saying you're unworthy and you are not one of his, may you remind the devil that your punishment has already been paid for, that Jesus took it upon his back, and you have been saved and you've been set free, and there's no longer a punishment for you when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, the devil tries to get in your head. You need to get in the devil's head a little bit. He's got a very hopeless future. May I remind you just a little bit about last Sunday's message when Jesus was headed to Jerusalem. He was going to take what was really should have been ours. What a hero. He knew exactly what was going to be taking place, and he was taking what should have been ours. But can I tell you, not only that, not only did his body take our punishment, and not only did it provide peace, and when we're talking about peace, we're talking about peace between us and God. That peace, all peace flows out of that peace. Talks about that. But not only that, but also it provided healing for you and I. Healing this morning. When we think about the bread, it brought healing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." We are healed through the stripes that went upon his back. Our healing. And sometimes when we're taking communion, we need to be reminded of what all is in that body. We are healed because of what Jesus did and sacrificed in his body. I'm healed because of the stripes that came upon the Lord's back. Physical healing. I can believe this morning that I can be healed physically this morning. Why? Because of the stripes upon his back. I can believe this morning that I can be healed mentally. I'm going to tell you, God can put you right back in the right order. How many remember Jesus running into the man that was possessed with the demons? And it blew the city's mind away when they found him sitting in his right mind. I'm telling you today, God can heal. God has provided. Jesus' body in that body lays healing for his children. Healing. And you know, I heard there's nothing too difficult for him. There's cancer does not scare the Lord. Come on. And if you're depressed, I got news for you this morning. The body that Jesus gave has gave you the ability to be healed this morning because he gave his body for you. You can be healed. We need to get back to it a little bit. We need to start realizing what all's in this meal. There's healing in the food. There's healing in what represents here this morning. And also spiritually. God has brought healing spiritually through that body. I know that we all go through life. And life can literally dump a truckload of lemons on you every now and then. But I'm going to tell you, we are not without hope. Because of what happened, as Jesus gave his body, we have the ability to be healed completely. I think sometimes we just walk through the motions of it and don't get a hold of really what took place that day. That we can all be healed. Healing wasn't just for that time of the apostles, but it's still here for us today when we think about the body. Another thing, another element is the blood of Christ. Wine conveys benefits to the believer also. Now let me just put this in there. Wine, talking about fruit of the vine, on whether it's grape juice. Here we use grape juice. But Jesus is very clear when he says the cup is his blood in this passage of scripture that we read this morning, saying the cup is the cup of his blood. In John chapter 6, we find the same thing that he's implying when he's talking about the elements there. He speaks of his blood, and literally the Pharisees could not handle the conversation that he was having with them because they literally thought he was talking about eating his body and also drinking his blood. But the fact in the communion table, we not only have his body represented about the bread, but we also have the cup which represents the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that is spilt, what's represented is the blood that came down his side and upon Calvary's heel, that blood that was spilt that day. Talking about that blood. There was only that blood. That blood is more precious than anything on planet Earth. It done more than all the gold of this earth could do for a person. It has done more than all the fame that a person could have. It done more than that. That blood actually was that blood shed by Jesus Christ. It was most precious because he was without sin. And therefore it made it the most valuable thing that God has ever sent us. The blood of Jesus Christ. It conveys forgiveness to you and me. Some of the benefits, it conveys forgiveness to you and I. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin, or there is no remission. In other words, without the shedding of the blood, we can never have our sins forgiven. There had to be the blood of Jesus. There's no such thing as working your way into heaven. There's no such thing of being so good that God forgets your sin. The only thing that can get your sins forgiven of is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what separates our message from any other religion, is that we say Jesus' blood has got to cover you. It is the blood of the Lamb that was upon the hill of Calvary that came down and touched us and cleansed us this morning. It literally means when we think about the blood, it's talking about cleansing you from sin. Cleansing you from sin. David understood this in Psalms 51. He said this, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me from my sin. I'm going to tell you, we all need that cleansing. Amen. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, I believe it says, if we are walking that way, his blood continually cleanses us. Amen. Continually cleanses us. as we walk. That cleansing in the New Testament we find in 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from sin. You know, when the Lord cleans you up, you are clean. Come on, it's not like some man doing the dishes. You know, I try to do the dishes when Robin's not around, because I know that if she looks at some of them, she goes, we need to redo that. And I try not only to do them, I don't even leave them sitting there drying. Now I'm telling you my secret, son. I try to wipe them clean and put them and get them all put up so I don't have to rewash them. I'm telling you today that what spoke of the blood of Jesus Christ is that the blood cleanses us from sin. And when it says it cleanses, it means He gets that sin and He washes it out of us. He forgives us of sin, and we don't have to walk around like we're not guilty of sin anymore, because the Lord has set us free and has cleansed us of all sin and unrighteousness that day we get saved. Hallelujah. And guess what? He takes us to the laundromat throughout that time and cleanses us when we are bad, and we ask God to forgive us, and He cleanses us again. Hallelujah. There's a process of staying clean. If we stay humble before the Lord, He continues to wash us clean. Isaiah 1:18 says this, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they should be as wool. He cleanses us with that precious blood. It also conveys atonement. The price is paid in full. What was required from us that we could not pay, He paid in full with His blood. What was required for our sin, we could not pay it, but Jesus paid that with His precious blood and His body. We sing that song, He paid a debt He did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. There is no other way into the presence of God other than through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid that debt upon the cross that day, and He made that atonement. The word atonement means it's paid in full. I was talking to one of my nephews the other day, and he had went into the hospital, and he thought he paid everything, and a year something later, they sent him another hospital bill. How many have been there? I'm thinking, where did that come from? I'm going to tell you today, what Jesus did was paid in full. There's nothing else required for my sin to be forgiven. My payment has been made. He doesn't have to go to a cross again like the sacrifices did in the Old Testament. He went once, and now He's sitting at the right-hand side of the Father. I don't have to get up there, and the Lord says, hey, I got a little debt against you. My debt has been paid. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all. Every bit of it. Absolutely all of it. I don't have to add a bunch of ways I think I need to get to heaven. It's been paid. The atonement says that. It also conveys a covenant, which means the very thing that says we read the New Testament. It's the new covenant that was put into effect by His blood. But it also conveys power over the enemy. The blood of the Lamb conveys power that we have. Power we have to overcome our enemies. Can I tell you, how many of you have ever just spent time trying to beat the devil? Come on, I want to say something to you this morning that's going to set you free of something. The devil's already defeated. You couldn't have beat the devil if you tried, because every one of us was born into sin. We couldn't have defeated him or all the principalities. But the fact is, he is a defeated foe. He has been beaten upon the cross of Calvary, and there is no other thing needs to be done. So if we're having an issue with the devil, what we got to learn to do is stand up according to what happened upon the cross of Calvary, according to the power of the blood of the Lamb of God, and we can overcome the enemy. We don't have to beat him. All we have to do is stand by faith and know that God has already defeated him. The Bible tells us that in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Sometimes you just need to turn around and say, devil, get out of my face. I am submitted unto God. I have submitted myself unto the Lord. I'm tired of you. Get out. Leave me alone. I don't even have to rebuke him. All I have to do is resist him. That's what the word says. Resist the devil, and he shall flee. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb that has washed my sins away. Just got to resist him a little bit. I don't have to have a formula. I don't have to have, okay, I read the book. 1, 2, 3, what I got to do. I just got to stand in what God has already done. Amen? And sometimes he just keeps pestering you, and then you wake up in the middle of that battle and say, hey, I don't have to take this off you. It's kind of like, you know, the little brother picking on you all or trying to mess with you. I say, hey, I don't have to take that off you. And he knows the authority when I point that finger. I'm going to tell you, the devil knows the authority you have in the blood of Jesus to be able to resist and have power over that. May I remind us this morning, Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? Who can be against us? If God is for us, those two elements, the bread speaks of benefits for you and I, and the blood speaks benefits for you and I. Pastor, if I can have you come, and we're going to take communion here in just a few moments. You know, after the Lord spoke this in John chapter 6, the Bible will tell you that many people turned away from him. And he had to look at his other disciples and said, will you also leave? And they said, who would we go to? But the fact is, they didn't believe in what he was speaking of, the body, the bread, and the blood. They didn't have that. And then he finished in John chapter 6, 63, and he says, Is the Spirit who gives life the flesh profits nothing? The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. The words he spoke that day at that Lord's, the Last Supper, he was speaking spiritual words to them. He was telling them, these elements are going to have something to remind you of something that can take place in your life. Can I tell you this morning, taking communion in the right content is a very spiritual thing. It's a very spiritual moment. Because, see, the elements remind us of the spiritual that can affect the natural. What we have this morning is this piece of bread and this cup. And these are natural elements that are the Lord gave us to remind us of some spiritual things. He gave these to us to remind us. He says, this is my body. I took your stripes. I took your punishment. In here, you find that peace was made for you between you and God. In here, in this body, there's healing for you. This body, what body? Jesus' body. But this is to remind me when I take that, is that I have those things that are wrapped up in his body that are mine. And they're not only mine, they're Johnny's, there's Christina's, there's everybody's. If you are belonging to the Lord, I know that there's healing in the body of Christ. And I know that my punishment is upon there, upon his body. I know these things because that's what they speak spiritually to me. And this blood, this cup, this grape juice speaks that I have a covenant relationship with God. My sins have been forgiven. My payment has been made by Jesus' blood. The atonement's there. It speaks of things that speak that I am in right relationship with God. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But if I continue to walk in the light, the blood of Jesus does not cease to clean me. You hear me? But if I cease to walk in the light, the blood of the Lamb will not cleanse you. There's a message in the meal. And sometimes we just take it. Oh, here goes Pastor Snyder again. He's going to talk about 10 minutes before we do this. And it should be a spiritual time in our lives. We are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 27, 29, it says, "Therefore, whosoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now listen to this just for a moment. Not discerning the Lord's body. If I come to this table not concerning what the body has done and what Jesus has given me in that body, and if I come to the table not concerning or not discerning what the blood has done, my friend, I am drinking it unworthy because it will not do a thing for me. I am drinking in an unworthy manner and irreverent to what happened upon the cross of Calvary. And Paul goes on and says, that's why many of you are sick and many of you are dying, is because, see, if I drink in an unworthy manner, that means that what the message in both of these elements are, they do me no good because I have no faith in them and I do not discern the body of Jesus Christ properly. But if I discern it, if I go on the other side of it and I have that moment of taking of the body, and when I'm in communion, I'm thinking, Lord, you are my healer. God, you are the one that took my punishment. Lord, I know that I have peace with God Almighty because of what took place with the body of the Lamb of God. And if I hold the cup up and I say, Lord, hallelujah, I have, my sins are forgiven. Oh, I am blessed from heaven. I have a covenant relationship with the Creator of all things. And He's my God. And He's my King. I discern the body of the Lamb of God and what He has done in my life. Guess what? That body and this blood has already started to heal me. I got peace with God. Amen? I have covenant with God. My punishment has already been taken care of. Why? Because I've discerned the body of the Lamb of God. That's why you drink it unworthy. It's nothing more than grape juice to you. You take of the bread, it's nothing more than a stale, worthless cracker. But when you do it right and understand it's a moment that something spiritual can take place in your life, it can do amazing things for you. See, the meal, it is a wonderful thing. Even in the Old Testament, they lifted the serpent up and all they had to do is look at it. Jesus said, "Lest I be lifted up." I'm just saying this morning, as we get ready to have that, ushers, if you'll come this morning. We're going to have a moment of communion this morning. Go ahead and start passing those out if you would. We're going to have a moment of communion, but I want you to start thinking right now. Do you need healing this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you need to discern the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and get your heart right with God. Maybe you need that before anything else happens. that you need to get things right. Can I tell you this morning that when we discern the body of Christ in the blood of the Lamb, that means I am getting my heart right with God. I'm coming out of sin. I'm going to live my life for Him. It means I'm converting. I'm turning. Because it's there that we actually discern the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you take the body and hold it up this morning? And just say after me, Dear Jesus, we thank you for taking our punishment and for providing peace and healing for us through your precious body. Remind me, O Lord, that in your body I have healing. Heal me this morning. Give me the peace that passeth all understanding. I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. Would you take of the body? Would you hold the cup up this morning? Dear Jesus, I thank you for this precious blood.
I thank you for this precious blood
that has given me forgiveness.
Has
paid the price for my sin. That has entered me into covenant relationship with God. And gives me power over the enemy.
I thank you for the blood.
That has set me free.
In
Jesus' name. Would you take of the cup?